The Salvation Army welcomes you to their Sunday morning worship program. We're confident that you'll be uplifted as Captain Spaulding of the Salvation Army presents today's program. Here's Captain Spaulding.
Something happened several years ago that changed the way many of us go about our day. This phenomenon started with the younger generation, but crept up to us older folks, and it swept through our culture and shows no sign of slowing down anytime soon. The phenomenon I'm referring to is the selfie. A selfie, which, in case you're interested, was the word of the year in 2013, is the simple act of taking a photo of yourself. But it's really not so simple. Phones are now often marketed based on how good their selfie mode is. You can hardly find a camera for sale anymore that doesn't include a selfie feature. You can even purchase a selfie stick so that you can capture your photos at just the right angle. Then, once you have the perfect picture, you can make it even more perfect by photoshopping it or trying different filters. And when you're finally happy with the photo, then you post it to the social media medium of your choice, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, whatever, and then you wait. You wait for likes and loves and comments. You can check back on your wall, which is basically a website dedicated to all things you, and see what everyone thinks of you and your selfie. Now hold on to that for just a minute as I tell you a story. It was Christmas Eve, 1910. General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was an invalid, and he was near the end of his life. It was impossible for him to attend the Army's annual convention. Someone near the general suggested that Booth send a telegram to be read at the opening of the convention to the many Salvation Army officers and soldiers in attendance as an encouragement to them for all of the labor or the many hours they spent serving others through the holidays and the cold winter months, and so Booth agreed to do this. Funds were limited at the time, and telegrams were charged by the word, so to ensure that as much money as possible would go to the ministry and the mission, General Booth decided to send a one-word message. So he searched his mind and he reviewed his years of ministry, seeking the one word that would summarize his life, the mission of the Army, and encourage the members to continue on. When the thousands of delegates met at the convention, the moderator announced that the general couldn't be there because of his failing health. And gloom kind of swept across the convention floor until the moderator announced that Booth had sent a telegram to be read at the start of the first session. He opened the message and read, just one word, others, signed General Booth. That is such a beautiful story, and still, more than 100 years later, that remains our mantra, others. And yet, despite that very clear mission, we still live in a world of selfies, and I'm not referring to the photos. We are self-absorbed, self-centered, self-serving, self-promoting, and selfish. How can we look out for others in this world when we are so busy looking out for number one? This morning, we're going to be looking at Paul's epistle to the Philippians, a letter written to an early Christian community in Greece in the city of Philippi around 30 years or so after the crucifixion of Christ. And Paul writes this letter from prison in Rome. And he's writing this as a thank you, a kind of show of appreciation for this community who has loved and supported Paul in his ministry. So when we hear the words of instruction in this book, we need to hear it as warm words shared from a pastor's heart to a dearly loved congregation. I mean, just listen to the way he starts the book. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. It's obvious that Paul has great affection for the Christians in Philippi. And so his message to them, it's not coming from a place of rebuke, but of encouragement. And we're going to be looking at the second chapter of this letter, verses 1 through 8. It begins like this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So basically, like a father to his children, he's saying, if you've gotten anything out of being part of this family, part of a community of believers, if you've gotten comfort or support, then make me happy by deciding now not to bicker and fight over things, but be unified. And this is not the first time we have heard this in Scripture. Jesus himself prayed a very similar prayer in John 17, saying, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me." So Paul, Jesus, God desired that the church would move forward as one unified body. In order to do that, we have to be humble. We have to look out for the interest of everyone. We can't be bent on getting our own way, and we cannot be selfish. Philippians 2 goes on to say, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others." Selfish ambition, vain conceit. We look around our world and we see countless examples of selfishness. We see political and corporate greed. We see a huge gap between the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor, and we cry out how unfair that is. We see people going to any lengths to have more material possessions. We see people stepping all over others to get more power. We see people doing crazy diets and plucking and tucking and injecting themselves with things to look younger and prettier. Vanity and conceit fuel whole television networks. But you don't have to watch the Kardashians to see selfishness in our world. We can see it a little closer to home. We can see it in our home. It's much more uncomfortable to turn an eye to ourselves, to take a selfie of our own selfishness, but I think if each of us took a good hard look at ourselves, we would see areas of selfishness in our lives. Maybe you're really selfish with your time. You like to sleep in and do your own thing, so you can't commit to serving at church or volunteering for things. Maybe you're really selfish with your money. You need every penny for your expenses. So no, you can't tithe. You can't be generous to others when you're barely making it yourself. Maybe you're really selfish about your belongings. You worked hard for that stuff. If other people need it, they can work hard too. Maybe you're really selfish with your emotions. You've been hurt before. You've been stepped on. You've learned that you have to be hard. You have to be closed off because people will hurt you. We see displays of selfishness all the time in our everyday lives. I mean, just drive around during a busy time and watch the other drivers. How many of them seem to be putting themselves last? And we see it in the church. People want their seats. They want to be first in line when there's food. They want to make sure they're getting their fair share. Oh my goodness, the pastor talked to that person more than they talked to me. We're selfish. Maybe vanity or conceit is more your thing. Your voice has to be heard, even if you have to interrupt others. You've heard of a one-upper, someone who, instead of listening and empathizing with someone, they immediately respond by telling a story that is bigger or worse or more amazing. Or maybe, a little bit like me, you're a little vain about your looks, your hair, or your clothing. Not that it's a bad thing to want to be pulled together, but even that can sometimes hinder us from God's calling because you can't serve anywhere where your hair and makeup aren't on point. Yes, friends, I would say that the vanity and selfishness inside the church is every bit as bad as it is outside the church. And what message are we sending to the world with that behavior? Certainly not others. And what message are we sending to God with that behavior? It's simple, really. When we are selfish with our time and our money and our possessions and our emotions, we are simply saying to God, "I do not trust you. I do not believe that you will provide for my every need, so I will hoard up my resources so that I can take care of myself." Think about when God gave manna to the Israelites in Exodus 16. The people were starving, and so God said, "I will rain down bread from heaven so my people will have what they need." But he told Moses to give them this instruction, "Only gather what you need for the day. Don't take any extra." But the ones who didn't listen, the ones who hoarded up what God had provided because they didn't trust that he would provide again tomorrow, their stash rotted and smelled and was filled with maggots. When we hold too tightly to the things that God has given us, it ruins, it spoils, it becomes a weight around us. And when we start to think that we are better than everyone else, that others are somehow beneath us, We ruin, we spoil, we rot. We become something ugly. Now, maybe you're thinking, I am not vain. That is far from my problem. I am not conceited. I do not think too highly of myself. In fact, I don't really like myself at all. Well, let me tell you something. Having low self-esteem and being self-deprecating and self-loathing is really just another form of arrogance. It is again about us putting all of the focus on ourselves instead of on Christ and on others. If we're truly to model our lives after our Savior, Jesus Christ, then selfishness and vanity can't be part of who we are. Look at Philippians 2, 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ, who was so much better than we are, behaved as if he was no better than we are. He was humble, and he calls us to be the same over and over in his word. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. What if our world, no, what if just the church looked like that? What if that was what our selfies revealed? What if each of us put others before ourselves? What if we truly trusted that God would provide for our needs? And what if we cared so deeply about people, no matter if they made more money than we did or less money than we did, no matter if they were the same color as we are or spoke the same language as we do, but we just cared because they were children of God. And we cared so much that we would sacrifice some, just some, of our personal pleasure and our personal treasure so others might have what they need. What if those of us who have believed on the name of Jesus trusted in the power of that name instead of trusting in our own power and our own prestige and our own possessions? What a beautiful thing that would be in the sight of the one who made us. That scripture in Philippians chapter 2 finishes out like this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, you have given us a world of beauty, and we have spoiled it. A world to feed us, and so many go hungry. A world of riches, and we are unwilling to share. A world to care for, and we think only of ourselves. Forgive us, God, every time your heart is saddened by our selfishness, every time we have no thought for others, no cares but our own. Enable us to see this world as a gift from you that can be shared, and those who live on it as our neighbors. We ask this that your name be glorified through the beauty of this world, and the services of our lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Salvation Army Sunday Morning Worship Program. The Salvation Army invites you to visit them for church services. Sunday school starts at 9:45, and Sunday morning worship is at 11 a.m. Kids Club is each Wednesday afternoon at 3:45 p.m., and the Salvation Army will gladly pick up and drive home participating children. For more information and to arrange for your child to be picked up, please call 424-5708. The Salvation Army works every day to make life better for countless people in our community. Your tax-deductible donations help them provide nutritious meals to older adults and families, help people overcome addictions, provides emergency assistance, and so much more. The Salvation Army Thrift Store offers great bargains on quality clothing, furniture, appliances, electronics, and more. And remember, you're invited to join them for worship. The Salvation Army, Highway 201 North in Mountain Home.